Well, good evening, everyone. It is August 19th, 2023. The time is 21:05 Eastern. Can I even see it? Yeah, 21:05 Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you again today. You know how sometimes we can have an idea that sticks with us, like we think that we shake the salt shaker this many times, and that's the right amount of salt. That's just something we might develop, a belief of that sort. And then when we're using a different salt shaker, we do the same thing. And you know what? It's not the right amount of salt in that case. But these habits, if we have a very firm habit, we can have all kinds of problems just because of not being flexible in our approach. So that was a thought I had the other day, which is causing a lot of my problems because I've got mental problems also associated with my teeth and my cavitations in my mouth. Hopefully I'm going to be very soon seeing somebody very good at doing electro detection of these problems. So today's study, let's begin. Carl Jung said, wholeness is not achieved by cutting off a portion of one's being, but by integration of the contraries. I love that one. That's sounds like it's Chinese philosophy too, or Buddhism. That's, you know, the yin and the yang. Now, the Chinese philosopher Confucius said, we accept advice in drops, but we distribute it in buckets. And Mark Twain said, a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting its shoes on. Our excerpt from the movie Root Cause for today. Blow this up. It's from 2335, let's say. 2335 at the start. Write this down. Right. What time is it now? It's now 21:07. Let me look at my other clock. Yeah, 21:07. Okay, let's start our clip and then we'll move on. Let's do it.
Conventional dentistry believes that you should save a tooth at all.
Wrong.
Eyes, well, that was the problem.
People who come to see me who have root canals, they turn out to be infected, but they're not coming with a sore tooth. Nobody comes to see me with a sore tooth. They come with their arthritis, their fatigue, their cancer, their heart disease, and it turns out when I get a scan done of the root canal that there's bone being absorbed because of chronic infection of the tooth.
Conventional dentistry believes that you should save a tooth at all costs, and if the patient dies, well, that was the price of saving the tooth. They don't really come with the concept that you should take things that are dead out of the body.
It was shocking to me because I had family members who had root canal treated teeth, and I had done root canals because I was never taught to question if residual infection was having any kind of negative implication on the overall health of the patient.
Probably the earliest research on root canal treated teeth that clearly demonstrated how toxic they were all of the time was the work of Dr. Weston Price.
Dr. Weston Price, who did 25 years of research on root canals, found that they could cause almost anything, from mental disease to heart disease to arthritis.
So when Weston Price started doing root canals on his patients, he found that a lot of them were getting sick. And so he started doing some research. He'd take out the tooth, he would sterilize the tooth on the outside, making sure that there was nothing as far as bacteria, slip it under the skin of a rabbit and found out that the rabbit had whatever disease the patient had.
Let's stop. And that is 2506. I need to make reference so that I don't repeat these clips. What did I say it was? 2506. Okay. Good. That was for today. I'll write in everything else later, because I know what that is. You know, it's detailed now. So we have, for today's song, we have what Rolling Stone called, where did I find that? Is that that? Let's see. That's it there. Rolling Stone called this song number 251 on the list of 500 greatest songs of all time. This is Gloria Gaynor. It was number one in 6 charts around the world in the year 1978. It's called I Will Survive. It's wrong again. What's wrong? I think I did the other one with the wrong set of speakers again, even after I tried to reset. Let's try again, but now this should work. Amazing. We're at chapter 5 of our Born Again article, paragraph 1 of chapter 5. The title of chapter 5 is Principled Ramsey Offers Very Encouraging Story. We're at 10 minutes in our video. The quote from the Bible for this chapter is from Psalms 19:5, and it is like a bridegroom when coming out of his nuptial chamber. It exults as a mighty man does to run in a path, speaking about the sun when it rises. Now, chapter 5, paragraph 1 of Born and Raised, Little Children. Now that we have reviewed Daniel's prophecy and gotten a sense of how it relates to the days of Jesus Christ, it might be a good idea to do some more to investigate the birth of Jesus and its historical civic backdrop. The book, quote, Was Christ Born at Bethlehem? A Study on the Credibility of St. Luke, end quote, by William M. Ramsey, is a fascinating study regarding Luke's witness in the book of Luke, specifically chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, in which a name, Quirinius, associated with Syria, is given as follows. Quote, this is quoting from the Bible. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus for all the inhabited earth to be registered. This first registration took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all the people went to be registered, each one to his own city. Of course, Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to David's city, which is called Bethlehem, because of his being a member of the house and family of David. The above passage, as we know, is the beginning of the story about the birth of Jesus. And the mention of the governor of Syria is the most fascinating part of all. So, let's continue. For today's study, we have the proverb for today, which is Proverbs 18:1. One isolating himself will seek his own selfish longing. Against all practical wisdom he will break forth. Next, we have, I love that proverb because it explains why people behave strangely when they're isolated. And when they finally or suddenly come back into associating with others after having been isolated, then we can see whoever we are, who we're not isolated, can see how this person is breaking forth against practical wisdom, all practical wisdom. He can be quite, or she can be quite unreasonable, or seemingly unreasonable in their actions. Okay, we have Galatians 1, but we're not going to do that right now. That's coming. We also have, for today, Deuteronomy 10. At that particular time, Jehovah said to me, carve for yourself, this is Moses speaking to the Israelites on the plains, on the east side of the Jordan River, opposite Jericho. So Jehovah said to me, carve for yourself two tablets of stone like the first ones. The time that he's talking about, though, this is the time when they were at the Mount Horeb. Okay, carve for yourself two tablets of stone like the first ones and come up to me into the mountain, and you must make an ark of wood for yourself. And I shall write upon the tablets the words that appeared on the first tablets which you shattered, and you must place them in the ark. So I made an ark of acacia wood and carved two tablets of stone like the first ones and went up into the mountain, and the two tablets were in my hand. Then he, that meaning Jehovah, wrote upon the tablets the same writing as the first, the 10 words which Jehovah had spoken to you in the mountain out of the middle of the fire in the day of the congregation. That was when the people gathered in front of the mountain to receive the words of the covenant, after which Jehovah gave them to me. Then I turned. He gave the tablets after Moses had gone up into the mountain. Then Moses says, I turned and went down from the mountain and placed the tablets in the ark that I had made, that they might continue there just as Jehovah had commanded me. And the sons of Israel pulled away from Be'eroth Ben-Jaakan, from Mosera. There Aaron died, and he got to be buried there, and Eleazar his son began to act as priest instead of him. From there they pulled away for Gadgoda, and from Gadgoda for Jotbatha, a land of torrent valleys running with water. At that particular time, Jehovah separated the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of Jehovah's covenant, to stand before Jehovah for ministering to him and to bless in his name until this day. That is why Levi has come to have no share and inheritance with his brothers. Jehovah is his inheritance, just as Jehovah your God had said to him. And I stayed in the mountain the same as the first days. Forty days and 40 nights. And Jehovah proceeded to listen to me also on that occasion. Jehovah did not want to bring you to ruin. Then Jehovah said to me, get up, go before the people for a pulling away, that they may go in and take possession of the land that I have sworn to their forefathers to give to them. And now, O Israel, what is Jehovah your God asking of you but to fear Jehovah your God, so as to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve Jehovah your God with all your heart and all your soul, to keep the commandments of Jehovah and his statutes that I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to Jehovah your God belong the heavens, even the heavens of the heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Only to your forefathers did Jehovah get attached, so as to love them, so that he chose their offspring after them, even you, out of all the peoples, as at this day. And you must circumcise the foreskin of your hearts, and not harden your necks any longer. For Jehovah your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the God great, mighty, and fear-inspiring, who treats none with partiality nor accepts a bribe. Executing judgment for the fatherless boy and the widow, and loving the alien resident so as to give him bread and a mantle, or a coat, we would say. You too must love the alien resident, for you became alien residents in the land of Egypt. Jehovah your God you should fear, him you should serve, and to him you should cling, and by his name you should make sworn statements. He is the one for you to praise, and he is your God, who has done with you these great and fear-inspiring things that your eyes have seen. With 70 souls your forefathers went down into Egypt, and now Jehovah your God has constituted you like the stars of the heavens for multitude. That's the end of Deuteronomy 10. You note here in verse 20, to him you should cling. That's a noteworthy phrase there. Now let's look at the study in Galatians that we're going to do today, Galatians 1. Paul, writing to the Galatians, Paul, an apostle, neither from men nor through a man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him up from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the congregations of Galatia. May you have undeserved kindness and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave himself, Jesus that is, for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present wicked system of things according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are being so quickly removed from the one who called you with Christ's undeserved kindness over to another sort of good news. But it is not another, only there are certain ones who are causing you trouble and wanting to pervert the good news about the Christ. However, even if we or an angel out of heaven were to declare to you as good news something beyond what we declared to you as good news, let him be accursed. As we have said above, I also now say again, whoever it is that is declaring to you as good news something beyond what you accepted, let him be accursed. Is it in fact men I am now trying to persuade, or God? Or am I seeking to please men? If I were yet pleasing men, I would not be Christ's slave. For I put you on notice, brothers, that the good news which was declared by me as good news is not something human. For neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it, except through revelation by Jesus Christ. Remember on the road to Damascus, Paul saw a bright light, and he got a revelation. You, of course, heard about my conduct formerly in Judaism, that to the point of excess, I kept on persecuting the congregation of God and devastating it. And I was making greater progress in Judaism than many of my own age in my race, and I was far more zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his undeserved kindness, thought good to reveal his Son in connection with me, that I might declare the good news about him to the nations, I did not go at once into conference with flesh and blood. Neither did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles previous to me. But I went off into Arabia, and I came back again to Damascus. Now this part is the chronological part. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, that's Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. But I saw no one else of the apostles, only James, the brother of the Lord. That would be the brother of Jesus in the fleshly sense. He's the actual fleshly brother of Jesus. Now, as to the things I'm writing you, look, in the sight of God, I'm not lying. After that, I went into the regions of Syria and of Cilicia. But I was unknown by face to the congregations of Judea that were in union with Christ. They only used to hear, in Judea that is, quote, the man that formerly persecuted us is now declaring the good news about the faith which he formerly devastated, end quote. So they began glorifying God because of me. So there's the 3 years that we've seen before, that after Paul was converted, 3 years later he went up to Jerusalem. But that was his one of the visits that Paul made to Jerusalem. It's not the one that he made 14 years after his conversion. So that's something to note. Very important chronological information in Galatians 1 there. We have that. And that's the end of our study for today, little ones. So it's now 21:27 hours Eastern Daylight Time. We have used 22 minutes. We have 11 minutes remaining. I'm so excited about so many things right now. One of the things is my car. Something I learned that just today, that if your battery terminals are not quite tight enough, and you shouldn't tighten them much, you shouldn't tighten them very much, I should say, you shouldn't tighten them up. I have these mistakes that I make in my speech. I really believe that my infection in my, you know, jawbone and wherever else, but I think it's in the jawbone predominantly or exclusively, that infection is affecting my thinking. It's affecting, you know, my strength level too, my energy level also. That's what I believe, but I'm hoping to see somebody within a little, around a week from now, who does very important diagnostic work, and that's what I'm hoping to do, and in order to, and I'm hoping to learn a lot of information about what my problems are very soon, and that's going to be the start of hopefully getting well and doing it the right way also, because the person that I'm going to is somebody who believes in the methods used in the documentary movie Root Cause, apparently. That's what I believe, anyway. And is very... I don't want to say any more because I don't want to break a confidence at all. So, this is amazing. What I've learned about my car today was that if I tighten my battery terminal, the positive terminal was a little bit loose yesterday. A little bit looser than the negative, or than I usually have the positive terminal. Because I usually undo and retighten the negative terminal. I take the negative terminal off when I want to protect my car, and I put the negative terminal on and tighten it when I want to use the car. So that's what I'm doing with both my cars now, because it's a good safety protection. But the thing is, I normally don't tighten the negative one too tight, because it doesn't need to be all that tight in order to function. That way I don't want to wear out, because I don't want to, it's because I would have worn out the the harness or the nut and bolt and the strap that that it tightens get worn out over time. So you don't want to over tighten if you're constantly tightening and loosening a strap around a battery terminal. It's good to not over tighten because you will wear that out by stretching the strap, and you will eventually need a new one. So, and it's not, you know, it's probably something like $100 to get it replaced. But you have to fix that. You know, it could be more than that to get it replaced if you have to replace the whole harness. I don't know what you want to do. It depends on what, you know, it costs money anyway. You don't want to do that. So you want to tighten it very minimally. But what I did, but then when I put the car's battery in after I got it back from the dealer, I tightened the positive not very tightly. So then when I was driving it in my first test yesterday, I had two terminals that were slightly looser than normal, or looser than they should be. And that was what caused, apparently, very clearly, in my mind, that's what caused my dashboard lights to fail. Just slightly. And the reason they failed at the end of the drive is this. If you have a bad connection, it's worse when the car is warm. That's another thing I learned through all this. So your connection breaks down worse. The resistance is higher at higher temperatures. Just like with a light bulb, I guess. When your filament gets hot, the resistance increases. These filaments in light bulbs, when they're cold, they can be 0 ohms resistance. And when they get hot, though, they immediately produce more resistance, and therefore there's no danger to the car when you're using it. But when it's off, of course, it doesn't matter what the resistance is. But when you turn them on and they're at zero, if they stay at zero, you're going to eventually run down your battery. And that was what was happening to my car. So clearly it was clearly an act of sabotage. And when I looked at the bulbs, there's the smoking gun, because the filaments are actually in place. So it can't be a burnt out bulb. But at least this looks like it's a trick bulb, because the inside of the bulb on both bulbs looks like it's a burned out bulb because it's blackened on the inside. Yet the filaments are intact on both of them. So there must be a short, you know, around the filament that is causing the 0 ohm impedance. And that's what was destroying my battery gradually over time, or lowering the battery voltage over time. And so removing those dead bulbs, which normally wouldn't cause any problem if they were truly dead, but removing those dead bulbs fixed everything. It just went back to normal. And the only other problem, and that fixed everything except for the dashboard lights, which were caused by the loose battery connections, is what I found today, because it tested beautifully today. Beautifully. Now, there is a voltage... there is a voltage drop on the alternator after the system is warm. It starts at 14.2 volts and it drops to something like 13.9 or something like that. So that's acceptable, though. That's only a 0.3 volt drop. So, and as long as you keep driving it at full hot temperature, it'll probably drop very slightly more, but not much. So, I mean, that's looking like a perfect scenario. Both my blinker lights are working. Just not the marker lights. That blinker doesn't work because I haven't got the new bulbs for it yet. But all my blinker lights are working front and back. And so it looks like all my dash lights are now working. So I'm pretty much over the moon. I fixed everything. The car is fully serviceable. I fixed that last item, which is tightening the battery contact, the battery terminals. Mainly the positive one that was the problem, because it was just not enough to have two battery terminals that were slightly loose. That wouldn't work. So that's what I learned in all this, which is a huge thing to learn. I learned a huge number of things, and I did a lot of studying, a lot of Googling through all this. Most of the material was not the right material, but it was still a great learning process. Definitely, and the two things you need to know are I'm trying to think what the other one. One is, you need to know Ohm's law. Because if you know Ohm's law, you can calculate, based on the wattage of a bulb, what the resistance should be, knowing that it's a 12-volt system, that it's a 12-volt bulb. So, I mean, if you don't know Ohm's law, you're not... And the power law, like V squared over R equals the wattage, that's part of the Ohm's law. V equals IR, and I times V is the power. And therefore, since V is IR, you have I times IR is the power. So I squared R is the power. Right? That's another way to write the power, I squared R. But you also can say, V equals IR. So V squared is I squared R squared, in other words. And V squared over R is I squared R, in other words. You get that by V squared equals I squared R squared. Divide both sides by R, and you have V squared over R equals I squared R squared over R, which is just I squared R, right? And we know that I squared R is the power. So V squared over R is also the power by using logic that way. So V squared over R equals the wattage. So does I squared R. We just just proved that right there from Ohm's law, which is, you know, V equals IR. That's Ohm's law. So, but we had to use the other fact that we know, which is was that the power equals I times the voltage. Those are the two facts we used. If you know that those two equations, V equals IR, and power equals V times I. That's all you need to know to figure these things out using logic and a little arithmetic, and that's it. But I mean, it's useful information, and you need to know that to do any of this kind of troubleshooting, and you have to double check everything, verify everything. And that's why it took me many hours to actually come to realize the what looks like the complete solution to the problem until the next shoe drops. It's the complete solution to the problem, so I'm very happy, but I'm tired and I'm still sick, you know. So wasn't able to do it until I got a little extra confidence boost. And thank you. You know who you are, I think. So it's going to be the end of our study now. It's Saturday, August 19th, 2023. The time is 21:37 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. I want to convey my love to you. My heartfelt feelings of concern for you. And in my behalf, it is Phoebe and Annie saying bye for now.